Matt Donald here, folks. Worst microphone alert, because my microphone I normally use to record this is currently still packed in luggage in my car from a trip I recently went on, and I need to get this out quickly, so the microphone from my webcam, it is so very, very professional. And what am I going to do with this worst quality that gives new listeners their first impression of this wonderfully professional and sophisticated show? Well, I want you to subscribe to my Patreon, of course, at patreon.com/MatthewDonald, where we discuss pop culture featuring prehistoric animals, sometimes in flimsy ways, sometimes in ways that are a bit of a stretch. And this month, it's the most wonderful time of year, not Christmas, hell no, not Christmas. It is time for our annual Pacific Rim episode, because the dinosaurs were implied to be kaiju in that universe, and that movie is so god dang awesome that I want to talk about it all the time with everyone every year, and that's what we do. So check that out, as well as another episode about Jurassic World the game on the phone. That'll come out soon. It was meant to come out last month, but, you know, life. Christmas, holidays, you know, the holiday season. Hard time for everyone. Link is in the description for you can sign up to the Patreon. Thank you for your support, and have a good day!
Roar. Growl. Snarl. Bellow.
Welcome to Paleobites, the podcast where a T-Rex, a Triceratops, and a Stegosaurus stumble upon a magic lamp. Then the genie that pops out says he'll grant each of them three wishes. The T-Rex says his first wish. I wish to have the pile of meat fall down from the sky whenever I will. That way I will never go hungry. The genie then grants his wish. And immediately, just as the T-Rex thinks it, a big pile of fresh, juicy meat falls from the sky and crashes in front of him. The Triceratops says it's his first wish. I wish to have the most extravagant horns and frill possible and practical. That way I can protect my herd and attract any female I want. The genie then grants his wish. And immediately, the Triceratops has the biggest brow horns and sharpest nose horn with a beautiful blue and gold pattern on his frill, making him incredibly handsome to other Triceratops and easily able to protect his herd from predators without getting too much in the way of his daily life. The Stegosaurus says it's his first wish. I wish to have my left front limb constantly waving around in a clockwise circle. T-Rex and the Triceratops look at the Stegosaurus with confusion and worry, but the Stegosaurus says, "Don't worry, I have a plan." The genie then grants his wish, and the Stegosaurus' left front limb is now constantly waving around in a clockwise circle. The T-Rex then says his second wish. I wish to have the loudest and scariest roars to terrify anyone who threatens my pack and wants my meat. The genie then grants his wish. The T-Rex then roars the loudest, proudest, most terrifying roar any of the other dinosaurs have ever heard, but they stand firm to continue in getting their wishes. The Triceratops then says his second wish. I wish to have the most powerful sense of smell. That way I can find food and water easily and never be surprised by an ambush from a predator. The genie then grants his wish, and immediately the Triceratops is nearly overwhelmed by the powerful surrounding smell of ferns, flower, dirt, dung, bugs, and dinosaurs in the surrounding area, but quickly adjusts and accepts his gift. The Stegosaurus then says his second wish. I wish to have my right back limb constantly waving around in a counterclockwise circle. The T-Rex and Triceratops once more look worriedly at the Stegosaurus, but again the Stegosaurus assures them, "Don't worry, I have a plan." The genie then grants his wish, and then the Stegosaurus' back right limb is waving around and around in a counterclockwise circle. The T-Rex then says his third wish. I wish to have the confidence to attract any female T-Rex I want. The genie then grants his wish, and T-Rex immediately feels his confidence and self-esteem rising and the skills of what he needs to attract a mate getting programmed into his brain. The Triceratops says his third wish. I wish to adorn my whole herd with the same horns and sense of smell I have to protect all of us. Let them have their plain frill pattern so I can still be special in attracting mates. The genie then grants his wish, and in the distance the Triceratops' herd immediately grows the same large and protective horns and powerful senses of smell, making them better equipped to handle the dangers of the prehistoric world. The Stegosaurus says his third wish. I wish to have the end of my tail constantly swaying back and forth like a pendulum. Once again, the T-Rex and the Triceratops look at their Stegosaurus friend with concern, but the Stegosaurus reassures them, "Don't worry, I have a plan." The genie then grants his wish, and immediately the end of the Stegosaurus' spiked tail gently sways back and forth like a relaxing pendulum. The genie then disappears, its purpose completed. 10 years pass, and the three dinosaurs gather around to catch up. The T-Rex says happily, "I'm having a great time. My pack is well-fed. I can roar to terrify any intruders and rivals, and I have a wonderful mate and several T-Rexlings wandering about our lair. We're all safe, happy, and full." The Triceratops says, "I'm also having a great time. My pack hasn't lost a single fight with a predator. We can find the freshest and tastiest leaves with our powerful noses, and I always score incredibly well during mating season. My herd has never fared better." The Stegosaurus, meanwhile, with his left front limbs still constantly circling clockwise, his right back limb still constantly circling counterclockwise, and his tail still steadily and constantly swaying back and forth, says, guys, I think I f***ed up.
That's it.
That's the joke.
I thought there was going to be some point to the madness.
There was. He's a dumb stegosaurus.
That's the point, is he's just dumb. He's just dumb.
And I should mention, I did not invent that joke. That is a variant of another joke that's non-dinosaur themed that I have appropriated.
Well, credit where credit is due to
that. I don't know who came up with it originally. It's like an older joke, but like...
Yeah.
Anyways, so because that took so much time, no dinosaur related question, we're going to go straight into it.
All right.
So we're going to talk about, yeah, indeed, the very cat-like, except not cat-related at all.
It looked when we were talking about, looking at pictures, it looked like a bit of like a mountain lion,
yes.
Kind of.
Mountain lion, red panda, cougar,
yeah.
Like weasel wolverine thing.
And the name is?
Simoscion. I'm trying to find it here. It means short snouted dog. Even though it does not look like a dog.
Okay, so rough. I prefer meow, but...
Yeah, no, meow sounds better, but it sounds nicer. Rough. Yeah. Rough also sounds more aggressive. Also, this is sounding kind of weird for me. It's like I've some people are into some of those weird things of like, ah! Like, I've heard people meow and rough, and I'm like, in like, naughty ways, and I'm like, I don't like it at all. I don't
mine
like it.
Mine is a truly just animal platonic meows.
Yeah, it's just, it's no like, meow.
I mean,
ruff, 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 ruff. Wolf.
No, wolf is more. If I use wolf, it's more of like Macaulay wolf. Culkin in Home Alone, where he's like, oh, Buzz's girlfriend. Wolf.
It's like a ugh.
Yeah, it's like a ugh. Yeah.
All right. So, Simoscion type is an iolurid, a group of carnivorous mammals, carnivoran mammals, I should say. Ah. That's a group of mammals that whose only living representative is the red panda.
Okay.
So, because you ever wonder what red pandas kind of are? They kind of look like raccoons. They're not related to pandas,
they're
really.
They're adorable.
They are so cute.
And I didn't know much about them until...
Turning Red.
Well, I saw Turning Red, and then I saw... I had a friend, Jansen, who works in zoology, and mm-hmm. so we went to visit a zoo in D.C. at the time, and she... We got really close to the red pandas with her, and it was just really cool to...
They're so cute.
Yeah, they were very cute.
And they look like red raccoons.
And they were smaller than I was expecting.
Yeah, because raccoons are kind of bigger than, like...
Yeah, raccoons are bigger, but this was just, like, when you think of panda, just the name panda by itself.
Well, that's why it's a giant panda.
You think of giant panda. You think of black, white... Chinese giant panda, and these
useless
guys are,
animals high on bamboo.
Yeah, but they're so friggin' cute.
They stumble.
Around.
They're constantly. Oh my god! We tried to save them. They're gonna go extinct. They're gonna go extinct. It's entirely their own fault. Look, okay, us deforesting their bamboo forest—that's on us. But them.
Well, we've got zoos that will help preserve.
They don't want
to
breed. They're not interested. They're too focused on the high of bamboo.
It. Who knows?
You jerk.
Well, a lot of extinct species, they take science to their own hands, and they try and, you know.
Just try and clone the panda at this point.
Maybe with technology, maybe that's where we're headed.
Oh, God. All right, so this one, it's not as small as a red panda. It's 7 feet/2.2 meters long, 110 to 143 pounds, 50 to 70 kilograms. So bigger than a dog.
Bigger than a dog, certainly.
Yeah, so again, like a
longer
cougar.
Longer than me, certainly. Yeah.
Longer than me as well. I'm not quite 7 feet.
But still so cuddly.
They look so.
Unless.
Probably
not,
had
though.
Muscles and paws.
Probably. Yeah,
I mean, look, have you ever seen those, like,
claws.
Ever seen those TikToks of someone, a zookeeper or whatever, like, hugging, like, a tiger or something, and you're like, oh.
I've seen some where it's gone wrong.
Oh, I haven't seen those. I've seen the nicer side. Where, like, you have a jaguar, you pet it, and it purrs like a cat. It's so...
That's very sweet. It's actually, I think it's called chuffing when it's that size of cat or something.
Yeah. So this was a carnivore.
But again, this is not a cat.
This is not a cat.
This is more like
it
a
looks
dog,
like one.
Even though it looks like a cute
convergent
cat.
Evolution, why it looks, it has this, all the same solutions to the same problem as cats, so that's why it looks similar. Yeah. So
I wonder if it, but also, in terms of the demeanor, which I guess we could maybe stem from the current day red panda, because cats are obviously very standoffish, they're slow to, you know, to approach, and dogs are like, eh. Come here, best friend.
Well, dogs are very social. Cats usually aren't, except for
so I wonder,
lions
I
are
wonder,
the only social cat that we
I wonder
know
how
of.
Red pandas are and how that harkens back to this one. Red pandas seem to be, like, in the middle.
They're kind of solitary, but they can.
Yeah.
So, time late Miocene to early Pliocene, 6 to 4 million years ago.
Oh, that's more recent.
Very recent. Yeah. So, not quite the earliest of hominids, like Australopithecus, which are our ancestors.
Okay.
But, I mean, there were our ancestors were obviously there, but they weren't hominids yet. So,
but mankind lived with alongside. Would you say mankind?
No man.
Okay, no man.
No, because the
when were Neanderthals? Oh my god, I'm gonna.
Okay, so here this is a long. Okay, so first you got to start with Australopithecus, which is like the mix between chimpanzee and man.
And man,
it's basically a chimp that stands upright though, like a man. And that evolved into some other ones that eventually evolved into Homo habilis, I think, is the first.
Which is how far-ish?
That's about 2 million years ago.
Okay, so those could have been around maybe.
No, because this was 6 to 4 million years ago.
Oh, 6 to 4,
ago.
Not 2. So not
Australopithecus
two to four.
Was around 4 million years ago. So our earliest known
We never got the luck to be around these guys.
Okay, yeah. So Homo habilis then evolved into, well, we've talked about this one before, Homo erectus. And that evolved into us. Yeah. Neanderthals are also evolved from Homo erectus, but they're our cousins, they're not our ancestors.
Oh.
So.
Interesting.
So,
okay.
So yeah, that's how that works. So Neanderthals are a subsection of human that is not us.
I didn't know that. So all humans, there could be some humans that are related to Neanderthals, but
yes,
not,
there's
but,
some
but not
was,
all.
There's, yes, there's some people, because there was some interbreeding. They think the red hair gene comes from Neanderthals. And also, the way they've screwed us over, even thousands of years after their death, the gene that helps transmit COVID is really susceptible in the genes of Neanderthals.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
So they've... Just over.
Oh my God.
After being extinct for 30,000 years. So thanks, Neanderthals.
I guess.
So this lived in Europe, Asia, Africa, and a few rare specimens in North America. Now, a lot of these creatures that we find, especially like the mammals, they seem to be from all over, while dinosaurs are only from certain regions. That's not necessarily because dinosaurs weren't only from certain regions. It's more because since this is more recent, we have more fossil evidence for it.
Mm-hmm.
So we know more where things are. The further back you go, the less evidence you have. So it's probably, a lot of dinosaurs probably appeared all over the place. We just don't know.
Here's a question, and yes. I think I've asked this before, but we don't often do, this one looks like it has fur.
Yes, it has. It's a mammal, so yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Fur.
So we don't often do ones like that.
Yeah.
So how,
mix it up a little.
How, yeah, right. Well, I enjoy it. So how do we know, because obviously, is it just our own depiction of what the colors would be?
Yes.
Or is it because it's linked to red pandas?
Because
so
it's linked to red pandas, we often draw like the colors of red panda. Mainly, I'm assuming, for the audience to know.
Yeah.
That kind of coloration would be good in certain forests. But the red, in particular, that's better for arboreal animals, ones in trees, because that doesn't camouflage well. Oh, I guess, if you're red, that's actually how...
Like on the ground, like in the
never
brush?
Mind. Tigers are orange, and they blend in the jungle because most animals are red-green colorblind. So to them, the orange looks the same as the green of the trees.
I never thought
and
about
that.
And
that's why the stripes help, too. So
I never thought about that. Okay.
So, yeah.
So, also, yeah, I wonder, so this looks like, at least in the artistic depiction, that it has a striped tail just like a raccoon.
That is purely hypothetical. We have no evidence for it.
It is cute.
It is very cute, though. So it was described in 1858. Pop culture appearances, none I could find, unfortunately. So the carnivora branch of mammals, you know, it's called carnivora. It doesn't just mean meat eater. It also means the group of mammals that are in a certain family, and not all of them are meat eaters. So because
what
it was
this nonsense,
because carnivora is the group of mammals that includes the Feliformes and the Caniformes, which then they'll split into other things. And I think it was named that because this is back, I'm assuming, I don't know if it's true, this is back when taxonomy was new. And so we're like, this is the meat-eating one, so we'll just name it meat-eating, not realizing that the name would be applicable to so many other things.
Mm-hmm.
So, and since it was early named, that's why it's like that. So carnivora mammals include, so Caniformes and Feliformes, that's what it's split into. Feliformes obviously includes cats, but also includes hyenas, mongooses, and meerkats and
badgers.
No, that's we'll get to that because Caniforma, which includes bears, dogs, mustelids, so like badgers and otters.
So, and what's the difference between their eating habits?
Because some of them, they're mostly all carnivores. That's one,
right? But obviously, there's a distinction.
Yeah, because like bears are often fish eaters. So
that's what I was wondering. So if it's like a pescatarian mix in there,
right?
Bears also eat like berries.
Well, yeah, bears are omnivorous, and a lot of dogs are omnivorous too. Like even wolves.
But this thing could potentially mom a face off.
Well, yes, and also to be fair, most animals they're not strict with. Their diet can be whatever. Like we've even seen deers
occasionally
nipping off of a carcass to.
Yeah. You get a scavenge if you
just
if
just
you
to get to. A little bit of of iron and protein. Like you can go beyond your diet if you need to.
Okay.
But yeah, this is mostly a carnivore based on the fact that really sharp teeth.
So
Alurida is in the group that's a sub branch of mustelids, which again includes otters raccoons are closer or in their own family closer related to Ursidae or bears.
Mm.
But you're also in Caniforma.
Okay.
And also seals and sea lions are in Carnivora too. So like I said, like the one with the elephant seal, it's like a dog because it's related to dogs.
Okay.
So, but otters are mustelids, It's
confusing. I don't like that name. Mustelid.
It's like musky. It's like
they. Yeah, I guess they have a, yeah.
Well, and skunks are mustelids too. So
are beavers.
Beavers are rodents.
Beavers are rodents.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
They're like the. They're like one of the biggest rodents. They're second biggest. That makes sense. Compared to the capybara. Yeah.
They're the R-O-U-S's.
Yes.
Rodents of unusual size.
Yes, indeed.
I don't think those exist.
So, oh man. Also, it's like in my second Megazoic book, I had this creature called Repenomamus. It looks like a rodent, but it's really big. Mm-hmm. But this was pre-rodents because it was pre-placental mammals even. Because in the Cretaceous, most mammals were either marsupials, monotremes, or some other thing like this. Pre-placental, which means they laid eggs.
I was going to say.
Yeah. So it's
there's no other way to really do it.
Yeah. So it's like there's a really good part in the documentary Prehistoric Planet, which just came out recently. That one is narrated by Richard Attenborough. Or Dave Attenborough. And it's
I know that name, but I can't picture the face.
He's the brother of the guy from Jurassic Park.
Okay.
He's the guy who talks like this, like the animals are.
Oh, yes, in the yes, yes.
It's like dinosaurs.
That was really good.
300 million years ago.
Yes. It's kind of an excited voice.
It's kind of like how like Brian Cox, have you heard of him? He's an astrophysicist, and he always sounds like he has a smile on his face, even when he's saying the most horrific things about the cosmos. Like, eventually, the protons will decay, and all matter
will
dissipate.
Will be lost.
All matter will dissipate.
We're all going to die.
And then the black holes will irradiate, and then there will be absolutely
nothing.
There'll be nothing left. That's what he sounds like. He sounds so excited about the eternal nothing that'll consume us all in quadrillions of years.
Can I see a picture of this one again?
Oh, sure.
I know.
Back to.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking about how cute it is, and I'm gonna. We don't get to rate a lot of cute, at least in my mind.
Yeah. So this is like.
Okay. So this is a depiction of it. It looks. Yeah. So it looks like a bear / raccoon / dog / cat.
Yeah. Well, those are all kind of related. They're all carnivora. So. Yeah. It also gets confusing when like you have the creodonts, which are a group of mammals that are all extinct now. They were the carnivorous mammals before carnivora.
Creodon. What does creo mean? Because I know people are like, I need to bulk up. I'm going to eat a lot of creatine or whatever.
I don't know. C-R-E-O something.
Okay.
Dons means tooth. I know that. Like dentist and iguanodon. Yeah. So,
that makes sense.
Yeah. So like, this looks like it's kind of like a red mountain lion look, but with red panda colors. It's kind of like I imagine. Again, with those colors completely speculative. Also, I guess this is a theme with the animals we have here. It could also crush bone very easily, much like prognathidin.
I also do that. I don't know if you know that. Like, I eat,
you have a strong bite.
I eat chicken, but well, if someone give me a chicken wing, I eat down to like an inch,
the marrow
like an inch
is
left.
Just,
oh yeah, give me all the cartilage. Give me all the In a past life, I was a. We haven't said the name of this one enough.
Simocyon.
Simocyon.
Or Simocyon or something.
Simocyon.
Simocyon, yeah.
Simo says?
Simocyon says.
Simocyon says.
So you know he don't tell a dog to sit. This one's telling you to sit. Oh, man.
It's what's interesting, too, and obviously it's something that we probably don't have a lot of evidence, not just with paleontology, but other, animals extinct, is what animals, although they were different species, worked like had a symbiotic relationship,
right? Like,
because
like there's a really good part in I forgot to mention the part in Prehistoric Planet earlier where
we started talking about your accent.
Yes, of course. So there's a part where you see these mammals in the dinosaur times, and the mammals, one of them goes towards this group of eggs. They think it's framed like it's going to
eat
eggs.
Them,
but then the eggs hatch and out come on little rats. Because these are egg-laying mammals, so it's the rat's own eggs. So,
okay.
But then also there's a part in Prehistoric Planet for symbiotic relationships. Be warned, it does involve a mosasaur, but it's very,
okay.
It's very.
How are we helping it, the mosasaur?
Okay, we're back. I know you thought you were free.
I know.
All right, so the mosasaur is like it goes to a coral reef, it kind of lands on it and opens its mouth wide towards these fish, but it's just gonna get a cleaning. It's like
so
the fish come in and eat the meat, flossing
fish.
Hilarious. Crocodiles do that. Like they open their mouths and then other things come and eat them.
And they just keep the mouth open.
Yeah,
that's interesting because my first thought, which is dumb.
Yeah,
it was my mouth would get so dry. But obviously they're underwater.
I was just afraid of ingesting so much water that I wouldn't be able to breathe because it's still an air breathing animal.
Right.
So
yeah.
So
wild.
Yeah, so that was cute. I mean, that show does a really good job of depicting them as in different ways than you would think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a fight between two long-necked dinosaurs in it, and it is brutal.
Yeah, because you don't necessarily ever think of those as...
Because they're so big, and they just slam their necks to each other. Like, Hey guys, another first for this show. We're breaking ground here at Paleo Bites. Breaking ground like paleontologists. So I guess the file I had for recording this episode was faulty, and it cut off right about here. And our final score, the one Simocyon, and that's it for this week, all erased. It is lost in the ether. Normally, a professional podcast would catch this far sooner and then hastily try and re-record it to make sure it was done properly, but it's a bit difficult to do with this one, considering the co-host here, Lexi, lives in Boston, and she has already returned home by the time I'm editing this, so it's a bit difficult to plan that, so unfortunately, it's going to have to end here, so we'll probably rate Simocyon like 5 billion or something. That's the official score for all those keeping track. Or, okay, fine, 5 million and like 5 to 10 million. Yeah, so we talk about the, you know, the Allurids, the group of carnivore and mammals whose only living representative is the red panda, and how they evolved. There was a bunch of different ones before they all went extinct, leaving only the red panda as the sole surviving member of this subgroup of carnivore and mammals. So, treat the red pandas right, folks. They're the last Allurids left. But yeah, so, and I think other than that, we covered all the bases of this creature. It could crush bone. It was a big predator. It probably preyed on some camels and some deer from back then. Maybe some baby rhino and elephant relatives, because it was pretty big. You never know. Probably not anything too big. Like the, what about those calicotheres? If any of those were left in its time, I think there were a few left. Yeah, they could prey on those. So yeah, that covers it. So that's it for this week. Sorry for the abrupt Lexi-less end, but it is what it is. At least it's still a full-length episode. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can contact me at PaleobitesPodcast@gmail.com, at PaleobitesPod on Twitter, and PaleobitesPodcast on Instagram. You can find me on social media at MatthewDonCreator on Facebook and MatthewDon64 everywhere else, so like Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. You guys can find Lexi at LexiTate44 on Instagram. Go follow her. I mean, if you want. It's up to you. Also, I have a book series on Amazon, Megazoic, available for print and Kindle. No Simocyon in it because this is not a Mesozoic creature. It is post-Mesozoic. So, Megazoic, it's a nay on that one. That's it for this week. I'll say the end of every episode of Paleobites. This is the worst running joke of the show. Why do I end it with the animal crying out? It doesn't work. It doesn't work! 220-plus episodes in, and I finally realized that. A bit late, one might say. Anyways, bye.